some of you out here right now, you don't know who you are. You don't understand how much God loves you. As I was standing back here listening to those words, that's what God told me. I know who you are, just so you know you're there. You're hearing me. And God said, it's time you let go of the hurts. It's time you let go of the failures and embrace who you are to Him. He loves John 3:16. It should be one of the most powerful scriptures. If you don't learn any other scripture by heart, make that the one you do. For God so loved you that He gave His only Son, that you might have everlasting life. There, did that make it a little more personal for you? He loved you that much. It's humbling to find out somebody would give their life for you, isn't it? That's a sign of somebody who's understood how much God loves them. They're not arrogant. Arrogance is nothing in God. Boldness, yes. Arrogance, no. When you find out that God loved you so much, you, if you were the only heathen on the planet, He would have still sent Jesus Christ. And you know what? Jesus would have volunteered to do it. He wouldn't have had to have been goaded. Oh, come on, God. Come on, Father. We've got all of these. Just let that one go to hell. Just one. Is it really going to be where you know what's going to happen to me? He'd have still done it. Like I said, I know there's one for a fact. Maybe you're somebody else. So I want you, especially after today's message. I love it when God works all things out. I don't tell her and she doesn't tell me. Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit just works things out? Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You. Lord, that You first loved us. And that through Jesus Christ, You manifested that love. And now, Father, we present to You today our tithes and our offerings. We do not do it out of fear. We do it out of love. Father, love for You, love knowing that everything that we give to You, Lord, You will give it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Father, we may not see it all in one shot, but Father, we don't know the things that You have stopped that would have destroyed us. Lord, I thank You and praise You now. We present it to You wholly in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and Junior Church is dismissed. So the other day I was, you know, the older I've gotten, you know, hair starts growing out of places you never had hair growing before, you know, the hair out of your ears. I never had hair growing out my nose for a long time. I mean, you see my eyebrows, right? Can you see them? Do I need to draw them on? And, I mean, the facial growth I've got right now, Rob can grow in 2 days. So, you know, it's facial hair has just not been a big thing on me. But anyhow, the other day, you know, Angela, she hates seeing nose hair. I honestly do too. I'm like, okay, well, see, somebody stole my scissors. They borrowed my scissors for something. I had a pair of scissors, curved ends. You're not going to snip the inside of your nose. And I got to where I could just, if they got long enough, I could just yank them out. And, well, I grew a tolerance to the pain, yes. Yeah, it still makes your eyes water. I don't care what you do. So back in, June, I bought this little battery-powered nose hair trimmer. I thought, it's not very expensive, and it's not, I mean, so much safer than yanking nose hairs out, and make if you're especially if you're trying to drive. They don't care where they start bothering you. That's when they start bothering me is when I got to deal with them. And I bought this nose hair, battery-operated nose hair trimmer, and the other day I thought I'm going to groom myself a little bit, trimmed up, and got that little battery-operated thing. Battery went dead. And it was still holding on. I was like, Lord, now I know why I use scissors. She's like, what? And I said, it went dead and it's grabbed hold of a handful of hair. I can't let go. And so I was like, what? She's like, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm just going to give it a quick jerk. I said, it's going to hurt, but it's got to come out of there. Praise God, it just dropped and blew into a million pieces. And I said, thank you, Lord. I repent of my sins and I will find another pair of scissors. Oh, boy, I tell you what, that was about to be a bad moment. Oh, praise God. Well, you know, just as that song says, it's who I am. I'm loved by God. Now, like I said right there, God is not arrogance, and neither should we be arrogant. Well, I'm loved of God. What do you think about that? I'm special. No, you're not. You're not any special than anybody else sitting around you. God loved us all. But I want people to understand how much God loved them specifically and who you are. And when you understand who you are and how much he loves you. See, I've been talking about faith, hope, and love the last couple weeks. You think this is not going to tie right into it? You're sadly mistaken. Because every message in the Bible should actually come right back around to faith, hope, or love. Those three. Because that's what abides in us. It's faith, hope, and love. But without love, faith and hope are just trash. That's all they are. And we sometimes have a hard time with the love part, don't we? Well, except this time of the year, something magical happens, right? People start, yeah. And if you've been in a store lately, you know that's not the truth. Love has nothing to do with this season that we celebrate. We should be celebrating what Christ has done. Okay. And you know, and I know I probably ticked some people off a while back when I said that Christmas is indeed a pagan thing. Everything about it is. It was taken from one pagan celebration or another. Easter too. Sorry. Nowhere in Christianity, you know, when God said, you're now, these are Christians, that slate was wiped clean. We're not supposed to practice Judaism. It's legalism. People teaching now you got to have your prayer shawl, but yet Paul taught that you don't pray with your head covered. What's going on here? We love legalism. We can abide by legalism. Do you know why liberals hate our freedom? And you may say, well, Pastor, you crossed some lines. Yeah, I'm about to tell you the truth, so just hold on, you might get saved. The reason they want people's guns is because they are afraid. They like legalism. Churches want you to be legalistic. You sit over here. If you've been divorced, you can never serve in the church. Or if you've ever had a baby out of wedlock, you can never serve in the church. Well, then, hello, 99% of the church is still going to hell by those rules. Okay? That's legalism. You cannot live by legal. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. Therefore, we do not live according to the law. We live according to the law of love. That means that I love my brother as I love myself. Going back to what we said, he's a good father and I'm loved by him. That's who I am. I am loved by a good God. A loving God. A God that said, I love you and I will give. You know, he never said, I love you. You won't find that in there. Because in God's opinion, words are cheap. Action speaks louder than words, does it not? Now, it's not saying that we don't need to hear it from time to time. It's a good thing to hear because we are, let's be honest, we're shallow people. We got to hear it. But it's just who we are. It's our makeup. But God said, here, I'm going to bypass the cheapness of love, and I'm going to demonstrate it. I'm going to give something precious to you. And what you do with it is in your hands. Can you take God's love and grow? Can you take God's love and come out of the bonds that you are in? We are afraid of freedom, of living by love. When I started getting hold of that, I know I've lost people over the years because I said, you know what, I'm done. I'm done trying to rule people with an iron fist. It ain't happening. I can't govern people. Not if they're to be free. That's why we are a self-governing country. Well, you shouldn't be speaking against the president. I hired him. He works for me. And if he's doing a bad job, I'm going to tell him. Now, I'm not going to sit around and whine and complain about him all the time. Pray for him. If you don't like him, pray for him. I mean, goodness, there's things I don't like about him. And there's things I love about him. But hey, in my opinion, it was better than the alternatives. I'm waiting for Jesus Christ to come back and rule and reign. That's what I'm waiting for. And he ain't going to just rule this country. People need to get that out of their thick heads. It's not America he's coming back for. It's the world. Talk about one world government with Jesus Christ rules. That's going to be awesome. So, as I was mulling over the message, as I so often do, there were scriptures that came to mind. I was like, God, where am I going next? Because I know we're not done talking about love. Because if we look in the Bible, love is the predominant message. I don't know why we feel the need to try to teach people about abortion, about sleeping around, or this or that. That is covered. Deal with it through love. I shouldn't have to tell you what is sin. Did anybody ever pay attention that Jesus didn't point out people's sins? Everybody's getting their panties in a wad that Joel Osteen doesn't preach against sin. He preaches love. You know what he's doing? He's following the example of Jesus Christ. Whether you agree with him or not, doesn't matter. I've read his own words. He said, I don't need to preach against sin all the time. I need to preach about God's love. And what I think is hilarious is the same people that are coming against Brother Joel were friends with his daddy, and his daddy forced him to take that ministry. He said, no, Daddy, I don't want that ministry. I'm good in the TV department. His daddy said, no, it's yours. But Daddy, there's plenty of other people. It is yours. Like I said, it doesn't matter if you agree with him or not. He's here to build up people, just as the body of Christ is supposed to be. But there's a scripture. I'm going to throw this one in here first before we bring up the scriptures of our text. 1 John 4, verse 4. Many of you know it. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You are of God because God dwells in you. Now, I know if you're a new Christian or new to salvation, I say that because after this morning as I was playing music getting ready for church, an old song came on that I grew up with or as a teenager. It was called I Want to Be a Clone by Steve Taylor. He was a rebel against religion. He got kicked out of the Denver International Airport for taking his youth group in and playing Capture the Flag. Don't know what flags they were capturing, but they got kicked out. But he's been one who has shook religious bones everywhere. Because in that song, he says, I'm grateful that they showed the way because now I know the way. It's too hard to do it on my own. I want to be a clone. Their language has gotten through to me. This Christian is now new to me. We have a whole language that people don't understand. There's a spirit going to possess me? Seriously, that's what we preach. What spirit? Well, Jesus, wrongo. You need to go back and reread your Bible. There is now one Jesus. He is not everywhere. He is on the throne. There's God the Father. But if God the Father were actually here, we would not be standing. And not because he's going to come down and knock us down. I just don't think with the sheer power. If you've never been, anybody ever been real close to the high power transmission lines, the towers? I went to a cemetery on a hill in West, or a mountain in West Virginia where the tower crossed over. And it wasn't but about 100 feet above my head. And I'm walking underneath and I can hear all that power. That's what you're hearing. What do you think's going to come around when God comes through? That's what Adam said. He said, I heard you coming. Well, I would think God could be pretty stealthy. Wouldn't you? I mean, from what I've understood, his throne just moves. It just does whatever it wants, wherever he wants it to go, I should say. But yeah, he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden. The hum. If you want to know what a hum sounds like, we got a three-phase transformer sitting in there humming day and night. It's just power is all it is. So we tell people, well, you need to get the Spirit of God in you. What spirit are we talking? Do I really want a spirit? It's love. Let's just get that straight right now. The Holy Spirit is even love. Because the Holy Spirit does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. The Holy Spirit is actually pointing us to God. Our messages should always point people to God. That's the whole point of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to tell people they were going to hell. They knew it. They were looking for a way out of it. I mean, if you're trying to find an exit out of a burning building and somebody stands there, woohoo, looky here, exit light right there, go out that door. Aren't you going to go out the door that says exit? Well, that's what they were looking for. That's what people are looking for today. But the problem is we have confused our language so much. In all honesty, English is one of the worst languages to try to talk to people in because words have so many different meanings. Man, I remember 6-year-old little boy in first grade trying to figure out the word no. What do you mean it's K-N-O-W? My first grade teacher, God bless her, she struggled trying to get me to understand that. Well, I get it now. All I knew was no, N-O. Heard that a lot. But when we get the Spirit of God, it's supposed to be the love. We're supposed to exude God's love, not a goofiness. If we're goofy, it's because we've mixed God's Spirit with religion. Now, we'll go to our text. 1 John chapter 4. Let's go to verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. I love that part. It says they know God. This morning, we're sitting back there, and everybody, Vicky and Joe and Faye, you know, trying to get Carter's attention. And they're like, what is he looking? He knows Grandpa. And he was looking at me. That's knowing. Everybody else is trying to get your attention. But somebody that you love and you know loves you has yours. Don't tell me that's not what love is. See, that's the way we should be with God. All this other garbage going on in the world. Well, brother, here's your 10 steps of prosperity in the scriptures. Listen, let's get it through our heads. If we're doing the will of God, that's where your prosperity comes from. Jesus said it real plain and simple. And I'm not trying to steal anybody's message. if they think that's what they're supposed to be, que sera. But let them live their life. They're not against me. But I'm here to tell you, Matthew said, he recorded Jesus saying, you worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going, here, I'm going to bring it to modern day society. How you're going to get, how you're going to make phone calls? How are you going to get to work? What are you going to wear to work? What are you going to wear to church? How are you going to feed your family? How are you going to get to that football game or that basketball game? How are you going to do all this stuff? How are you going to get there from point A to point B? And Jesus said, your father already knows you have need of that. He said, the Gentiles worry about it. He said, don't you worry about it. You just seek God, the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. Seek God first. It's an amazing thing. I'm not going to steal his thunder because he probably wouldn't get up here and share it anyhow. But Joe told me the other night something amazing. Not, well, I say amazing, but I just had to laugh because it's God. He needed some work on his truck. He's like, God, I have X amount of dollars in my pocket and I don't want to put it on a credit card. He said, let this bill come in with what I got in my pocket. Was it 30 cents off? 3 cents. It was the exact amount he had in his pocket. Now he joked after, he said, man, I have to think about it. I should have asked God, let it come in under, under what I had in my pocket. But God heard him. You see, we're worried about all the other, this garbage going on. Well, Pastor, I just don't know about all this Trump stuff with tariffs and China. Oh, for crying out loud. He got a North Korean rocket man to get to the table, didn't he? Trust him. Trust God. I don't care how goofy you think his decision was. Trust God. Because I'm praying God takes his heart and does this. Woo-hoo. Let's keep moving it. Let's keep this country moving on the path back to God. Well, if all of a sudden we suddenly got prosperity, are people going to turn to God? No, they're going to go right back to what they... Woohoo! Credit card amnesty! Run them up and who cares? That's what we do. That's not love, by the way. Somebody does pay that bill. But we are known... And we know God when we see God. That's why when we see people, brothers and sisters, who are filled with the love of God, that's why you leap with joy. Something inside of you just is so excited to see him, and you don't know why. You're just like that little puppy when you come into the door, man, the tail just wagging 90 miles an hour. He's so excited to see you. Or maybe like John the Baptist when he was still in the womb of Elizabeth. And Mary came into the house, and she was greeted by Zacharias. John the Baptist knew the love of God, knew the Son of God was in the house. And he jumped in the womb, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Boy, how would you like to get that, ladies? You walking around 6 months pregnant, all of a sudden that baby jumps, and whoa, hallelujah! That's one way to get filled with a spirit that I've never been heard duplicated. I've heard of people blowing on people. Whatever. Jesus blew on people. I mean, there's all kinds. But that one, I have yet heard anybody say, I was filled with the Holy Spirit just because somebody started greeting a woman of God. Wow. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So that's the spirit we inherit, okay? But if we do not love, by the way, when I say love, I mean we're loving the people that rub us the wrong way. It's easy to love people who you get along with, isn't it? Oh, it's just, oh, man. But boy, that one person, it just is like a pinched sciatic nerve. They're a pain in your backside. God said, you got to love them. Wow, that's the tough road to hoe. What do you mean I gotta love them, God? I had a guy I worked with, and I'm gonna tell you right now, he and I fought. I mean, there were a couple times it came came close to fist. He and I fought. I didn't like him, and he certainly did not like me. And I remember when I got a pair of safety glasses, because I worked at the end of a machine with welders, and got a little sick and tired of getting blasted because the screens wouldn't cover where I was at. And so I got this pair of tinted glasses. You couldn't see my eyes. And boy, he came around the corner. He says, "I don't like them on you." I said, "Why? You can't see my eyes? Know whether or not I'm going to rip your head off?" One day somebody asked us, "Are you two brothers? Because you fight just like brothers." Well, I had given him something. I'd given him a picture frame we had received, and we at that time weren't going to use it. I quit. I left the company, and he had the guy that drove by my house stop and get that. And you know, there was a part of me that just about said, "Are you kidding me? I didn't like you. I don't work there anymore." But then there was a part that said, "You gave it to him, now give it up." And that was God. I hope and pray that he has found God, because he sure needed him. Because I wasn't exactly the best example. I was still fighting out some of my own things. But then again, maybe he found out Christians aren't exactly pushovers either, because that's what he was. He abused anybody he could find to get to do his own work. Anyhow, so in this, verse 9, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. In what God did is love. So that others may live. Others who didn't like us. I have no idea what happened to that guy who didn't like me. I think I'm generally a pretty likable guy. I got along with everybody else in the factory but him. Don't know what it was. In this is love, not that we loved God. See, that's what we think. Oh, yeah, I love because I love God. I love when people say, "I've loved God since I was little." You did not, you lying dog. You didn't love God since you were little. Because you don't know what love is. Isn't that what we start telling teenagers? You don't know what love is. Well, they're trying to find out, aren't they? Unfortunately, they're trying to find out what Eros is. And Eros has nothing to do with love. You don't have to be in love to have sex. In this is love, not that we love the world, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big, long, fancy word that says that he was merciful to us and had Jesus take our place. That's what it means. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If that's how God loved us, then we should love others the same way. Not whether we think that they're the finest human being on the planet. That has nothing to do with it. That's why Jesus taught us not to judge. Because if you judge somebody by what they look like on the outside, you'll miss. "Well, man, God, they are dirty. I can't pick them up. You see my new car?" God don't... Listen, I stopped and picked up a guy one time on the side of the road. I knew it. He was right there with his truck. It just broke down. And I was just making sure they were okay. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I just lived down the road here. Could you take me back to my house and I can get another vehicle?" And I said, "Sure." I don't remember if it was Jesse or Joshua was in the truck. But let me tell you what, homeboy needed to take a bath 3 weeks ago. I had to scrub my seat. It was bad. We rode home with the windows down, and it wasn't exactly warm. "Well, Pastor, you know..." Hey, listen, I'm not here to judge the man. People live how they were raised. By the way, if you're sitting judging people, it's because you were probably raised judging people. That's a real simple fact. I look back, it's like, oh, Lord. Lord, I'm going right down the same path my whole family walks. Okay, I got to get out of it. Well, it sounds like you're judging. I'm not judging them. I'm judging myself. And I can do that all day long. As a matter of fact, that's highly encouraged. No one has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Perfected, again, it has been matured. It has reached a desired goal. Unless you eat fried green tomatoes, you wait until they turn red or yellow, right? Depending on the variety. You wait until they've matured. Then they're sweet. Same thing with peppers. You know how long it took me to find out that green peppers were raw, were not ripe? I'm like, why would anybody pick them? Let them turkeys ripen. I like yellow ones. I like orange ones. I like red ones. They're sweet. Whoever thought, now we mix them with some hamburger, they're okay. And some rice. But I hated peppers as a kid. I'm like, who thought this was a good idea? We'd have a whole, my grandpa'd have a whole garden full of them. They'd slice up peppers by the dozen on the table. I'm like, blah. I hated onions. Somebody thought the need to, the hotter the better, and it's like, you know, I really like sweet onions. I like hot stuff, but I don't like hot onions. Now, y'all can tell I'm getting ready to start talking about food. But God's love has been matured in us. It has grown to a maturity. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Why is it just because somebody doesn't believe exactly the way we believe, they still confess Jesus Christ as Lord? I have not seen anywhere in my Bible where it says that we all have to agree on the same thing. Because if that's the case, none of the church is going to heaven. Because we don't agree. We're not going to agree on certain things. The only thing we have to agree on is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ became flesh, dwelt among us, was crucified, dead and buried and resurrected. And now he sits on the right hand of the Father and he is my Savior. That's it. I don't care about the music. I don't care about the dress. I don't care about whatever you were raised in. Well, we took communion every day, every Sunday. Well, you know what? You can take it every day if you want. You can. I don't have to administer it. That is religion that taught you that. I am not a high priest. I'm a pastor. Jesus Christ is your high priest. He's my high priest. So when we start understanding God's love, that no matter what we think, now I think God's going to hold some churches in contempt for stuff they're allowing to happen in their ranks, stuff they're promoting, like abortion. Things that God spoke about in the Bible, he spoke about for a reason. One, they violate the law of love, period. Across the board, they violate the law of love. Every Ten Commandment violates the law of love. Love the Lord your God with your heart, body, and soul. You shall have no other gods before him. Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Well, we need to keep it. It's for you, ding dong. You want to know why you're stressed out? Why you're a jerk? Did I say that so people understood that? You're a jerk because you don't take days off. Oh, I got to work. Work hard. You're a fool. I was taught to work hard. That's why I've got a torn muscle in my back, shoulders that are jacked up. Because I was taught to work hard, not smart. Bless God, I finally figured out I'm working smart. I'm tired of walking. Oh, jeez. Gotta get some more ibuprofen. Gotta go see the chiropractor. I finally got to a point, if I can't do it the easy way, I'm not doing it. It won't get done. That's all there is to it. Because for religious sake of thinking that if we don't work hard, we're not worthy of heaven. You might as well grow you a beard, ladies. Go ahead and pull your hair up in a cranky tight bun. Quit shaving your legs. Quit brushing your teeth and go join the Amish community. Because that's what they believe. Work hard, work hard, work hard, work hard. Yeah, they're hard workers. I know a guy's only a few years older than me, but he looks like he's older than my father-in-law. I told him that one day. I said, holy smoke, you ain't but a couple years older than me. He's younger than Phil, let's put it that way. He's between me and Phil. But yet he looks older because that's all they know is to work, 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 work. Now they take a break on Sunday, but if the sun's up, you're out working. Well, you know they make a tool to do that job easier. Oh, no, we need to keep it simple. Well, you can remain a simple man. And, you know, a lot of them like Leonard Skinner do. That must be why they like him. Remain simple men. I don't know. I'm not here to preach against the Amish. I'm just here to tell you that working hard doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Might mean you get there sooner than everybody else if you don't start taking a break. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Take a day off. Do something recreational. You know what that word means? Recreate. Recreate life in you. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Where was I at before? Okay, I was at 16 already. Okay, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. There it is. God abides in you if you love. Now, if you don't, God doesn't abide in you. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. So if God is love, we can stand before God in boldness, not arrogance, in boldness, knowing that because we understood who we were, we loved in this world, that we are now justified. We're not sitting there waiting for the hammer to fall. Every last one of us has been in the shoes waiting for judgment. I don't care how old you were, 6, 10, 20. At some point, you're waiting for somebody to... It was either spanking or jail time. Right? You were in terror. You aren't bold, are you? It's arrogance when we see people today. But boldness is going to be because I loved, because I accepted God, because I chose to love people, that I can have boldness on that day that I'm going to hear acquitted. I'm clear to the charges. And there are charges against me. The devil has not forgotten them. The devil hasn't thrown them out. He brings them up every day. He's got minions running before God saying, hey, yo, woohoo! How about we look at this guy, check his record? He's looking for a way all the time. But I can stand because I'm working on growing the love of God in my life, working on maturing it. And, you know, if anybody who's ever grown anything, you know, if you're going to work towards growing a plant up, getting it to produce flowers or fruit or whatever, you know, it takes a lot of fertilizer. And y'all know what fertilizer is, right? You get a lot of that in life. There is no fear in love. There's no fear. All these people I see running around, they're in terror. I'm not talking about, you got this little thing with snakes, spiders, the dark. That's not what I'm talking about. People that fear God in the wrong sense. People that fear, oh, I just don't know. I got to work harder. I can't work hard enough. That's fear. That's not love. Love doesn't mean I have to work. I'm justified, period. So long as I choose to love people. But the second I take away my love, God's love working through me, I stand a chance of standing condemned because I no longer love. If I preach to you a message full of faith, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? If I preach to you fire and brimstone messages and there's no love behind it to get you to repent and love you, then it's noise. If I teach you how to have faith so that you can go out and move the mountain, call down Mercedes-Benzes out of heaven, what's it do? Absolutely nothing for you or me. Well, Pastor, it padded my bank account. Yeah, good. Wait till the financial system fails and tell me where that gets you. Because if you can't trust God with every little detail of your life, well, it'll never happen in my time. And I'm sure that's what they said in 1929, too. I mean, come on. We're too modern. We've got so many conspiracy theorists that have already proved that they can shut down the government. They can shut down your phone. They can shut down your car. And the dumb part is you got the same theorists. Well, we get diesel cars that don't run with computers. You do realize, Einstein, that if they ain't doing that, the pumps that pump the fuel out of the ground into your car are ran by a computer, and the truck that brings it there is ran by a computer, and the processing system is all ran by a computer now. You ain't getting any diesel fuel there, Skippy. You thought you were so smart. I bought all these cars that don't run on computers. So? Well, I got kerosene. We were part of a cult. I won't call it a church. It was a cult, flat out. It was a cult. We were getting kerosene lanterns, man. Every house, we were setting all the houses up. The church had kerosene lanterns. Major code violation, by the way, to have live kerosene lanterns around the walls. Brother, you do realize we can't store enough kerosene. And he tried to get his people to go to the wilderness. I don't know where people's minds went. I'm like, hello, isn't that the first sign we all learn as a Christian? He said, beware if they tell you to go to the wilderness. Hello, that's what he called it. And they followed him to Canada. Just for Canada to say, no way, eh? You stay in there. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love casts out fear. The mature love that says, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Jesus Christ is my Savior. God is my God. I love those who He has sent. I have nothing to fear. I don't have to fear just because I told somebody to grow up. They actually are the ones who should be in fear. I don't have to fear that because my intentions are to get them to a mature spot in their life where they quit hating others, where they forgive others. Do you do realize Jesus said that if you do not forgive, He didn't specify any specific sins. He said, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. Think about that for a moment. As David said, Selah. Pause and calmly think about that and repent. Man, I really want to keep rocking. We love Him because He first loved us. We'll say, well, I love God first. No, you didn't, you lying sack of Joia. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, what is he? A liar, liar, pants on fire. You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. You're a liar if you say, I love God, but you don't like the guy. I'm not talking about, you know, hey, we're not going to be best friends, but that you wish him harm. How about an ex? Woohoo! Just hit that sore spot. Yeah. That's what he's talking about.
No, well, we need to define. Okay, Bill Clinton, we'll define the word sex. What do you not understand about this word, brother? Well, we need to describe that better. Okay, here, let me show you how it worked out for Cain. Y'all remember the story of Cain and Abel? Who is my brother? The disciples tried it too. He said, look all around you, boys. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, absolutely, positively, yes. You are. If you see somebody doing wrong, you know what? One thing, oh boy, it gripes me. I love watching videos on YouTube and stuff, and these videos where they show a cop being beaten. Because a criminal, and I don't justify what happened to other people. We need to understand one thing. When you get hyped up on adrenaline and it kicks in, feel free to try to stop yourself. Then you'll be judging a little bit different. But when people have a consistent repertoire of abuse, that's a different deal, okay? But I've watched people on videos walk right by somebody beating up somebody else. And it was usually a way outsourced or way David and Goliath situation. And this person could have stopped it, and they didn't. Well, it's none of my business. Let me tell you what's going to happen if it happens in my presence. I made it my business. I don't really care. Just like I told that woman in Burger King or Wendy's down in Sunbury, you and him, take it out in the parking lot. He was in the wrong. And she would have ate his lunch. That's all I can tell you. Because her husband stood back and said nothing. So that tells me somebody's got something. She's got all the power. There might be a reason why. She might have whooped him a couple times. He's like, buddy, you don't want any of that woman. So if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen? How can we love God? How can he love God whom he has not seen? I heard on a song today, it was Billy Graham preaching. He said, have you seen the wind? But you've seen the effects. You know it's there. Have you seen God? No. But I can see his people when they love. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Do you notice that word must? It's not an optional thing. If you want to, if you think about it on the right day, you might feel a little gooshy feeling. It's talking about the day that they just ran over your cat. On purpose. No, I didn't do it. Just saying. If your cat came up missing, I had nothing to do with it. I'm just clarifying. That he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Again, all 10 commandments deal with love. They are a violation. If they are violated, they violated the law of love. This is verse chapter 5. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Okay, gentlemen, how hard is it not to look at your neighbor's wife? Look at your own. Women, if you're getting sick and tired and say, would you quit looking at me like that? He can look at somebody else. Just let me put it this way. I heard a woman preach, not preaching, she was talking to a whole group of people, and she said, ladies, if you don't feed your dog at home, he's going to go somewhere else. Men are dogs. Just letting you know. Okay? Because we taught, well, you know, women's lib and all that stuff. The best man for a woman is one who said, honey, I will love you till the day we die. I will give my life for you. I don't need no man to take care of me. Listen, there's a few women I know that could probably whoop a man. Not too many. I know a lot that think they can. But if they run into the right man who's got his own ego, is not going to let him get beat, you're not going to win that fight. Fairly, of course. Y'all know how I believe in fighting. It's a fair fight to win. That's all there is to it. God's commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now you see why I read you that first verse? For whatever is born of God, and ladies and gentlemen, you're born of God if you're a child of God and you're filled with God's love and you love your brother and your neighbor alike. You overcome the world just in that. Oh, well, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, take each day as a victory. Take each day as a step in the right direction. Quit thinking that you are going to be the one to suddenly bring down opioid addiction. You're not. But you can be a step for somebody else. Well, I don't know how to share God's love. Listen, folks, there's all kinds of things you can do here. There's things you can do already set up. We have people that work with the Heartbeat, the Pregnancy Crisis Center. That thrills me. Because these young girls, most of them are young girls, some of them are a little older, but they fell for a man's lies. I love you, baby. I respect you. Find out you're pregnant. That ain't mine. How can you prove that's mine, you hoe? Right? That's exactly what they do. Now, I can't throw it all at the men. They have no men to look up to. Men suddenly decided to lay down. War has killed off a ton of them. But hello, I'm looking around here and I'm seeing a building with men in it. So it's not too late for us to be men, to show love, compassion. I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, how we've done such a disservice to men in this world by teaching them that men don't cry, particularly this country. I said, you know, something that gets me, and I can feel it trying to well up, is I like watching the military tribute videos. And I see a Marine kneeling at a fallen Marine's tribute, and he's crying. Well, men don't cry. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to take you out back and slap you so hard your great, 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 great grandchildren are going to feel it. That is the dumbest thing we've ever done. Because you know what we did? We took men who should be full of compassion and made them bricks. Do you know that a cinder block wall, a brick wall, isn't as hard as you think it is? It's porous. It has to absorb. It has to be able to do stuff. But that's not what we've done to people. Even steel contracts and expands. That's why the towers fell. Because the heat got so much that even the strongest of steel couldn't hold it. And in that case, you know what happens? It's devastating. We no longer know how to love. We look at our children, I bring them up and I'll beat them into shape. No, all you're doing is just driving a wedge. There's discipline, and then there's just you being macho. Woohoo! I beat up a 12-year-old. Yay! Good for you. He didn't mean it. He didn't know what the heck he was doing. By the way, did you take a time out and get both sides of the story there, Judas? Or did you only hear one side?
He embarrassed me.
Oh, you didn't have any honor to begin with. It's all in your head. You know that's where honor is. We think we're people of honor, and we walk around, my honor. On your honor. You don't even know what honor is. You want to be an honorable man? Love your wife. Love your children. Love your neighbor. Be a man of God. Slow to anger. Slow to react. Had an incident the other night. It was a test for me. If it weren't for the fact that I'd go to jail for a long time, God said, take it and use it as an opportunity. Not for you, but for them. Because the truth of the matter is, this world's not going to get any nicer to our children, is it? We can protect them all we want. We can think we shielded them. The worst thing you can do is to totally shield your children. You can't do it. Because eventually, little Johnny, he's going to get up on the edge of that nest. Hopefully. Hopefully get up on the edge of that nest and fly away. And if little Johnny doesn't, little Johnny stays in the basement playing video games all day, you screwed up. That's all there is to it. Well, these children are different. They're only different because that's what we're doing to them. Do you know what it would take to shut down our children's social lives? A dead battery. At a time in life, that meant the car battery went dead. Now it's my phone! Oh! What do I do now? I don't know. Go out and talk. Go out and shoot some hoops. Quit watching somebody else doing it all the time. Go out and live life. You know, if you've seen that movie WALL-E, I'm afraid we're heading to that. And it's not because we think we love people. Oh, society, we're heading this direction. I'm going to shut up in a minute. We're making life easier. Yeah, we just eliminated 10 jobs. Think about that for a moment. I heard somebody talking about the kiosks that you go through at Lowe's and Walmart and all that. Oh, yeah, you can do it at McDonald's now. Every time you go through there, you're eliminating somebody's job. And it doesn't get any better from here than it does from over there, trust me. Food's still slop. But they don't pay taxes. Did you know that? There's no taxes. It's not a person. They got 4 employees there who aren't paying into Social Security, who aren't being taxed. Not that I'm a big fan of taxes. Y'all know this. Those lists going around, they're huge. I don't know what we're actually paying. We're over 51%. By the way, that means we're communist. So if you know anybody that's wanting to be, that's where we're at. We're paying over 51%. And they said in a communist society, when you go over 51% in taxes, that's how you know you're in communism. Add up all the property taxes, sales taxes. Every time you buy a used car, you pay taxes again. Everything. Go to the grocery store. Well, I need to buy some diapers. Well, you know, and the sad part is all the baby's going to do is poop in them and you're going to throw them away. Yeah. Why? Because we think we love people. We're making their jobs easier. They're just making jobs easier and then just putting people out of work. I've been watching some shows where they make cars by hand. Talk about some serious work. They bend metal around to fit in places. Something the machine just stamps out now. if it's even metal anymore. It's a polycarbonate. Well, we're making them safer. Well, I understand making them safer. Let's just not forget why you're making a car to begin with, why you're building a house. Houses today aren't built to last more than 30, 40 years. As a matter of fact, it was Tim was telling me about, there's a company that has developed a pine tree that will mature in 5 years. Anybody knows anything about wood? That's a lot of pulpwood. There's no rings in it. The rings are the strength. Not enough years. So you wonder why it can go through a community and it wipes out the entire brand new community, but it hits a house that was built over 100 years ago, took off some shingles, and kept right on going. Because the hardwood they built that house out of 100 some years ago is holding. Even homes from the 50s and 60s are still better. It's still older growth. And I will shut up. I promised you that 3 minutes ago. All right, let's stand. But as I started earlier, you need to know who you are. You are loved of God. And if you're loved of God, that's what should be coming out of you. That you want to show people that you're loved of God because the love of God comes through you. And not in judgment. Why are you telling that person about Jesus? Do you need a... Got one more? If that's why you're doing it, wrong reason. That's all I've got to say. If you aren't doing it because you can find genuine love for that person, you don't want to see them die and go to hell. Because there is one thing that is for certain in this world. Death. That's all there is to it. We all going to go that way. I just as soon go knowing that I can go happy and not in fear. And my grandson is telling me, Grandpa, shut up. All right. Well, let's pray and I'll bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for a wonderful and glorious day. Lord, we trust now that your love is overflowing in our lives, Father, so much that we can show others what it is about. Father, for those who are struggling with understanding who they are, that they are loved by you. Lord, I pray right now that you give them that revelation. Move in them mightily, Father. Help them to forgive themselves. Help them to love themselves. And help them to forgive and love others. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving now. Father, that you're ministering to those who are sick. Lord God, we pray right now for health and total recovery right now in Jesus' name. We speak life and peace over their bodies. And now, Father, I thank you for these people here. Lord God, I bless them as they go about their week. Father, lead them and guide them, Father. For things that they're searching for, Father, lead them to the best deals. Father, and may they also remember to love the people around them. In Jesus' name, amen.